Turn to the first chapter of Revelation. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us a kingdom of priests unto his God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We generally look at this book as telling us of coming events. But the Spirit of God is concerned to display to us the glory of the Lord Jesus. And revealing to us, he says, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And God is desirous to inform us. That's really what he's doing. He's letting us know of how things are going to take place. And how, through the different judgments that are coming here, God is going to introduce his beloved Son into this scene. We are not going to go through those judgments here in this world. But he's sharing this with us. We'll be with him when that takes place here. We'll be with him. But he wants us to already today to understand how God is going to work this out in time, through the various judgments, and thus to bring to us, before us, the greatness of this person, the Lord Jesus. And to know this sustains and helps us, helps the faith, our faith, to, in the present day, while he's rejected, to stand for him. It's a tremendous encouragement. And so he writes this to John. As we know from further verses there, he was assigned to an island of Patmos, a prisoner because of his faithful testimony to the Lord. But there he is alone, and there God meets him and gives him this wonderful revelation. And it was on the Lord's Day. Remarkable that it was on that day. Alone, he was not in the company of the saints, but at that time that the Spirit of God would come to him, the Lord himself came to him and gave him this revelation. What an encouragement it was for John to witness this and to be able to declare this to us. And so it is what he says here in the very first verse. It is who God gave to him, to the Lord Jesus, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So here we find many servants. And all of this, it's the Lord, he gave this to his servants. Are we his servants here now? He has put us into that place. And it's a privileged place to be here. But then, when he gives that message here to the seven churches, and the verse I really want to come, that comes home to my heart, is verse 5. So it speaks of it. Here's the message to John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. And from whom is this message? Now notice this. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. Who would that be? And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And then notice, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. And then we have another voice that speaks. You notice there's a change of voice. Unto him that loves us. These are those who know, you and I, who have known that love that brought him here, that loved us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood, made us a kingdom of priests unto his God and Father. And to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. They burst forth in this doxology in a note of praise. Unto him, they hear of him. The Spirit of God presents this person, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. The one who is the ever self-sufficient one. He never changes. The great I am. And who was. When there's anything that is evident that became, that took place in this universe, the Creator created all things. It's through his hand. He was active, and so the works are seen, and he's the one that is to come. The future is in his hands, all controlled by him. This great person is the one who came down, who loved me. He loved us, gave himself for us, shed his precious blood on the cross to purchase us for himself. And when this message is heard, then we find that response that is here, found here. Unto him that loves us. They know him personally. We had that message in the gospel. Who knows him personally? Do we know him personally? Not only knowing of him, but these knew him personally. He's washed me. He's cleansed me. I've come to know him in that way, in that intimate way and relationship with himself. And he's brought me into this wondrous position where I'm now as a priest and a king, priestly family and kingly family. He is the prince of the kings of the earth, but he has made of us a priestly company. That's what we find in Scripture. Peter speaks about it. Hebrews speaks about it. Where we are now privileged to enter in the holiest. That we're able here to worship, to adore him. In this scene where he's despised and rejected. You know, every time when the saints of God meet together. And we have the emblems on the table before us. It's come to me so precious lately. The Lord, when he gave us that privilege, he refers to it always, also in Corinthians in particular, that when the Lord, on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord would have us think of him in this sense. What all passed through his mind when he was betrayed. How he was treated, as we've had here, of these men that despised David. Let us not think that this wasn't a sorrowful thing for him. The day, night that he was betrayed. It's 2,000 years later, more than that now. And he still tells us to remember in the night that he was betrayed. But what then? He gave us those emblems in order to remember the sacrifice that he paid, the blood that he shed, the work that he has accomplished. But not only that, he says, do this until I come. He's coming. But in the meantime, he's given us this wondrous privilege to think of him, and his suffering love is what draws out our hearts to him. But in the consciousness of the greatness of his person. Just go down to the end of Revelation. I think of him as a faithful witness. We have two other expressions where that's in. I'm going to pass that. I want to simply go to the end now, where the promise is given to us of his coming. And we're reminded of that. And chapter 22, so he speaks here in verse 12. Just quote those, get those verses. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now here his coming is in connection with the awards are with me. So that will be that time when he comes, when he takes us home to glory. For us it will be the time when he will appraise, when the works, he will give the awards, as it says here, reward is unto according to his work shall be, according to his work, each servant. So we wait for that time when he comes and takes us home. We don't get our awards here now. We don't want our praise here now, recognition. We leave that to the time when he comes. And further, he encourages then, blessed are they that do his commandments and the promises that he gives. But then he goes on to say again, I, Jesus, verse 16, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the spirit of the bride say, come. Now notice again, when do we find the spirit now and the bride responding? It is when the Lord presents himself, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. It's in the assemblies where he has declared these great things. It says, as it were, how shall I hide the things that I will do? That which he had in mind, that's what he told Abraham. What shall I hide from him? That which is in store. And he showed them what would take place in Sodom and Gomorrah, the judgments that would come. But Abraham wasn't part of this. But he takes us into the intimate relationship with himself to share with us all that God is doing, what the Lord is doing. And it's here he's left his assembly here in this world to be the witness, the living witness, during the time of his rejection. Now that bear witness by their separation from this world, and by their associating with him, owning him, giving him his rightful place, his lordship. But it's also, I think, here the thought in that wondrous relationship into which we've been brought. So they recognize him when it's said here, I am the root and the offspring of David. We've had about David. Well, he is the one that these scriptures all point on to. And the bright and morning star. Who recognizes him as the bright and morning star? It is the redeemed, you and I. Israel, or this world, they're waiting for the Son of Righteousness to rise with healing in his wings. And this world needs healing on every hand. But now to think, the bright and morning star? Peter also says that, speaks of the day star or the morning star, arise in your hearts. That is, not rising on the horizon, but in our hearts. This hope, the blessed hope of his coming, is to be as a present reality to our souls. To think, the one who loved me, the one who came and died for me, he's coming. He's coming for me to take me home. He's not going to send a servant for that mission of taking us home. to the Father's house. He's coming himself. He will come to carry us home and bring us there. So when we hear that, when the bright and morning star is presented, who understands that message? Not the world around us. It has no meaning to them. They're waiting the judgments. They're coming. But the Spirit and the bride, they respond and say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. You know, when that cry, I believe, came out in a very remarkable way some 175 years ago, when the hope of the Lord's return, the coming, you know, many took on this. Many believed that message. And that truth was circulated throughout the world. The Lord is coming. And the rapture. And so it is here. Let him that heareth say, come. Enter into that and respond to this. But then there's another thing. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. We've heard of the coming of the Lord. Are you waiting for that? Now it says, whosoever will, there still is available. Let him take water of life freely. No price to pay. All has been paid. Receive the message of the coming of our Lord and be ready and prepared for it. For he says, I testify to every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man shall add anything unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this, the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. But then what a conclusion. He which testifieth these things saith, surely, I come quickly. And the response, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.